This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Big college football weekend. We got Texas A&M. We got Alabama. We got Auburn. We got Georgia. Lots of games to look at in the NFL. Major League Baseball playoffs obviously going on right now. Who better to bring in than our buddy Vegas Runner, who joins us now on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. Vegas Runner, how are you today?
Never better. A busy day with baseball playoffs going from morning to night. And, of course, every other sport simultaneously, but more importantly, books didn't have a very good week last weekend. Neither did most of the betting groups. I actually went back to look to see how are we doing after 3 weeks of the season. We're up in college football more than I expected, and we're profitable in the NFL, but we gave some of it back last week. But still, if the season ended today, I'd call it a winning year. But with that said, I'm feeling that the guys I work with at least feel more confident, and it looks like the market is starting to adjust. And a perfect example of that is this week's NFL totals, where we have 8 or 9 matchups that opened with a total of 50 or higher. And that's a rarity. I mean, you know, you go back a couple seasons, you may have a game or two, maybe 3 on a week with a total of 50 or 51, but to have more than half of the entire board that high, it shows you books are adjusting quickly, and I think that's given sharp bettors more confidence, and it's starting to show because we've placed already probably 6 or 7 college football bets that I feel are legit, and the same amount of NFL bets that I am very sure they're legit. And I couldn't say that this on a Thursday in week 1, 2, or 3 where I felt that confident that these are legit positions. So I got a feeling the books and these sharp groups are going to do good over the next couple weeks.
You told us last Thursday, Vegas, that you anticipated it was going to be, volume-wise, a big weekend because the return of SEC football. And it sounds like to me that did not disappoint in Vegas.
No, not at all. And the results did well. I mean, the books did good in college, and they're doing well in college. It feels like, at least from the bettors, obviously it's not your normal, typical college football season. But it even feels to me that the most of the market betting college football seems to lack the confidence they had in years past. And rest assured, very few people, I say it all the time just to stress how difficult it is if you're truly trying to win money betting sports, most can't do it, so they do it for entertainment. But even those that do it for entertainment usually seem to have more confidence and more conviction when they bet their money. And I'm just not seeing it or feeling it this year in college football. Granted, volume's high. It's going to eclipse last year's total like it does every year as sports betting becomes more mainstream. But I think it's due to more of a volume of people as compared to bet size. Meaning, I think if you went and looked at all the offshore sports books and you said, what's the average bet size in college football? I would bet that it's lower this season than it was last season. I would say probably before the average bet size is somewhere between $25 and $30, probably cut in half. But I think it's just more people betting is what's helping the sports books.
Vegas Runner, when it comes to volume, let's take Major League Baseball, the regular season, to the Major League Baseball playoffs, which got underway on Tuesday, and the NBA now going to the finals. How much does the volume change? Obviously, there's less teams, but is it more money put in just because the guys in Vegas or the public, they're more dialed in and they want to put in more money?
Baseball, a lot more than the NBA. I don't know. I said it prior when the playoffs started, for some reason, I don't know what it is with the NBA, but they didn't get the boost that other sports did with the lockdown and the resurgence of sports and people so excited and just wanting to consume it all day. And it seems like NBA didn't benefit as much as other sports. And this is a perfect example. With the postseason here, I'm seeing that Major League Baseball playoff games are attracting more attention, even more betting volume on a game-by-game basis at least some of them, comparable even to the finals. Like game one of the finals last night or the night before was comparable even less than a playoff game. And this is the first round, you know, with three-game series. And I'm seeing at least from books that I talked to saying they're getting the same amount in the NBA as they are in an afternoon baseball game. So that's good for baseball, not so much for the NBA. But baseball, people are betting it day by day by day. I think when the weekend gets here, that's what usually happens. Those tail off, meaning once football takes center stage, everything else takes a back seat. And it's kind of like, okay, I'm at the book. I'll bet the baseball game because I'm here, but not I'm going to bet all four baseball games. I'm going to bet all the sides. I'm going to bet the totals. I'm going to put parlays in. I'm going to watch the games. You don't get that on Saturday and Sunday when there's football. But you do every other day, and that's kept the books really busy, especially when there's four or five baseball games each day.
Well, that was going to be my next question, Vegas, in regards to what Major League Baseball might look at moving forward. I mean, there were 8 games yesterday. It was the first time in Major League Baseball history that they had those playoff games back to back to back to back. I mean, it was almost like watching an NCAA tournament Thursday or Friday with all those games. Do you think it would benefit baseball from their popularity and from a Vegas perspective if they were to adopt that moving forward?
Vegas would welcome it, because again, I always say Vegas just wants volume. Their goal is open the door, get the people in. We have a built-in edge. We just got to deal the cards. If we're dealing the cards, we're making money. Regardless of how we're doing hour by hour, week by week, month by month, we're going to turn a profit. We just got to deal enough cards. That's why every month you see the totals, and it was like, what, 70 straight months that Vegas had turned a profit until the virus hit. Because they have that benefit. So for them, they welcome it. You want to put games from morning till night, prime time, high profile, marquee televised games? Even better. We're all for it. I'm not too sure it's as good for the sport, because I think after a while, it's just, once you have too much of something, it's not as exciting. Where with baseball, it's when fall comes around and you have that nighttime big baseball game, it's just everyone's tuning in on that one game. I think they benefit there, where here it's kind of more spread out. I'm not sure revenue wise. I'm sure it probably benefits them. That's why they do it. But as far as Vegas is concerned, they would welcome it. Again, the more games, the more options they could provide, and the more money they're able to get out of your pocket that you're willing to bet, the better position they're in. That's their only goal, to get you to bet. The result, they know that's going to take care of itself long term, because again, they have a built-in edge. As long as we have to lay 11 to win 10, they're fine. They'll never have to sweat anything. And that's why they just, if you could give them more action, they'll take it.
All right, Vegas Runner, I'm just curious with power rankings when it comes to college football. We know that the guys there that do it for a living, they look at the power rankings. Obviously, when, you know, lines are set, power rankings are considered. How much has that been altered this year, not only because we've had a limited schedule, but also playing conference-only games as we see in the SEC?
Oh, it's huge. You remember every year I used to get my sheet from two or three of the groups that I deal with that I have such a good relationship with. They've actually shared their power ratings. They don't have anything really to share this year. I mean, I know they're working with analytics guys and computer programmers that you know, do that and play the game 1,000 times or what have you. But you're not seeing the confidence of power ratings like before. And that's what's given the books problems, and the reflection is in the betting lines. You're seeing these lines in college football move so significantly, and I always say that's the worst thing for sports books. I mean, their goal, if they could have it, the best thing for them is to put up a line and have it stay that same line from when they put it up to when it closes. For them, that's the goal. If they can do that, they've done the best job. If they put up a minus 24 and it goes closes minus 30, regardless if they win money on that game, that's a bad situation for them. Like, you lose your, if that continues, you lose your job doing that, because you're opening the door for bad things to happen. And you're seeing that, and that is a reflection of a lack of power ratings and confidence in those power ratings. Because, again, you're talking about conferences, conference play now, much different. That's all they're doing. Power rating the players has been more difficult without the amount of spring practices, without just so much that goes into before the season even starts. And they were playing from behind kind of from when the season started. They weren't even sure if we're going to have it. And I think they're still playing from behind with college football.
All right, Vegas Runner, lots of our listeners, I've got my pen out. I'm sure that Pat has his pen out and paper, and John Saber. You told us last week there were just really no college football games that you wanted to pass along because you do care about our listeners, where they put their money, that you wanted to give us. Because even though bets, the syndicates, the sharps, they were going this way, you didn't feel confident in it. You weren't 100% totally convinced. Seems like maybe this week's going to be a little bit different with college football in the NFL. Where's the sharp money going this weekend?
For sure. I got three sides in college football that I feel very confident, because, and the line is still available. Like a couple games like Charlotte, Georgia Southern, I wouldn't bet those now. We took Charlotte plus 9.5. There's plus 6.5 right now. The value's gone. We bet Georgia Southern minus like 17.5. Minus 16 and 17. They're minus 20. I wouldn't bet that myself. But Mississippi plus 6 against Kentucky, I'd still bet it. West Virginia plus 3 against Baylor, I would still bet it. Coastal Carolina plus 3 or better against Arkansas State, I would bet it. Those three are as legit as they come, and they're from one of the sharpest groups in college football, where I expect a 2-1 or better from these guys pretty much every week when they give out, when they fire three strong plays, and that's what they did with those three. And real quickly, Georgia is also a side that is going to get steamed. Iowa State and Southern Miss. Georgia, Iowa State, and Southern Miss are all sharp sides. The problem is, will you be able to get good numbers on those? But again, Mississippi, West Virginia, Coastal Carolina, those are still available. In the NFL, tonight, we bet the Jets plus 3. Obviously, that's not there no more, but we bet them at a pick 'em as well last night. So right now, it's about minus 1. You could lay 1 or bet it on the money line if you agree with us. And we also bet the over 40. It's now 41. Not much of the value has been extracted. It's rare. That's actually the only total we went over. And here's what I wanted to share real quick. These totals will start going under. Don't be afraid to bet the unders. The market will regress. The NFL market's so efficient. You go back 5,000 games, you're going to have 2,500 favors, 2,500 dogs. You go back 25,000 totals, you're going to have 2,500 overs, 2,500 unders. If you factor in the juice, you can't blindly bet either and turn a profit. That's how good they are. But they're making a mistake this year. Here's why. Last season, the NFL averaged 45.2 points. That was the average score per game. The average total that the bookmakers posted was 45.7. So they were within a half point of the NFL average. So far this year, through 3 weeks, average points per game, 51. Average of the point spread, the total of Vegas numbers are 45.7. They're still 5.5 points off the market where it should be. Rest assured, it will regress and progress towards the mean like it always does. The three unders that we bet, under in the Saints-Detroit game, under in the Chargers-Tampa Bay game, under in New England-KC. So that was under 55 New Orleans, under 45 Chargers, under 53 New England. Those three totals, we should see some regression there. Real quickly on sides, Buffalo on the money line, New England plus 7, Chargers plus 7, Dolphins plus 6.5 or 7 if you could get it, and Cincinnati minus 3. Throw in Washington plus almost 14, and those are all sharp NFL plays. You know, you bet $10 on each one. When all the dust settles, hopefully you're up a couple positions.
ladies and gentlemen, Vegas Runner has no skin in this game. He does it because he's a great person. He's a great friend of our show, and he is great to our Great Jocks listeners. You just heard it right there. If you didn't take in some of that information, shame on you. Vegas Runner, we always appreciate it. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for having me, guys. Enjoy the games.
Vegas Runner, Pat.
Wow.
I mean, he came with it this week, didn't he?
Man, the heat. Oh, my word.
Greek underscore gambler.
This is Three Man Front.